The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yesterday afternoon, Columbia University in New York began suspending students who were protesting against the U.S.'s involvement in the war in Gaza. The university said the nearly two-week-long protest violated policies, created an unwelcoming environment for Jewish students, and presented a noisy distraction for those studying. The protest is one of many that has been taking place across campuses in America in recent weeks. Police have become involved in several incidents, with the Washington Post reporting that over 1,000 students have been arrested. Joining me, Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway, columnist with the Journal.ie. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, how widespread are these protests? The one in Columbia, New York, has gotten a lot of headlines. How many more are going on?
There appear to be dozens, Pat, literally all around the United States. And indeed, they're growing internationally. I know it has some Canadian universities that are taking place, as well as in France. And I think it really shows pure anger and rage, I think, at the policies, and particularly in the United States, of some of these American universities who appear to be benefiting from investments and other things, with companies benefiting from the war in Gaza. I think it illustrates that young people, at least in the United States, very much see the Israel-Palestine conflict in a very different light to their elders. And that certainly has to be somewhat worrying to President Biden with the election just a few months away.
Now, the protests which are going on these campuses, I mean, they're portrayed as being pro-Palestinian. To what extent are they very much anti-Israel? And therefore, as Mitch McConnell portrayed it on Meet the Press on Sunday, as being anti-Semitic?
That's the open question. And I don't think that there is a straightforward answer to that. From what I've seen, on the one hand, yes, some of the chants and different things that, we're hearing at U.S. university campuses are quite disgusting. My sense, however, is that they are outliers, that by and large, this is a real, stand for anger at not only the policies of these universities, but the policy of the United States with respect to Israel. On the flip side, though, there is the First Amendment, and there's some issues here with how these have been policed. Yes, universities have the right to, have control and for students to feel safe on campuses. But very clearly, they don't have the right to trample on people's free speech rights. And I think, again, some of the footage that we've seen police officers, in my view, both university police officers and from the community, overreact. I mean, some very ugly, ugly stuff that I think is reminiscent of the Vietnam War era, stuff we hoped we would never see again. So there are scary times on campuses throughout the United States. And again, how this is going to go away, I just don't see. The students appear to be quite resolute on the one hand. And as you say, also, on the flip side, a lot of politicians are very angry about what they're seeing and cast this as entirely anti-Semitic. The bottom line is, I don't think either side is nearly right, is totally right on this one. I think there are issues on both sides.
Now, it is exam time, and there are those who obviously are not taking exams who can take time out to protest. Maybe even some who are taking exams feel the issue is so big that they will maybe forsake their exams for these protests. What are the colleges saying in regard to, the rules of behavior which are laid down when you sign up to a college?
Yeah, I think they're pretty rigorously defending those. And let's not forget about a big cadre of students who are somewhere in the middle on this, who aren't partaking in the protests, might have issues with how Israel is prosecuting the war. But at the same time, Pat, and this is crucial in American context, they are in many cases assuming huge amounts of debt. Their parents are making extraordinary sacrifices for them to attend these higher education institutions. If their efforts to prepare, to study, to even sit exams, and we also see some instances where classes have been moved off campus, where we have that less than ideal situation of remote learning, to the extent to which their educational outcomes are being impacted, I think that's indefensible. And I think that that's where a lot of colleges and universities are coming down hard. They're saying, look, you have the right to protest, but it's not an entirely unfettered right to protest. But again, this is what makes it complicated, Pat, is that, yes, you know, the right to protest, it's not unfettered. But at the same time, you know, some of the scenes we've seen of how this is being policed are really disturbing.
Now, there is a huge Jewish lobby in the United States, and not all prominent Jewish people are approving of the way Israel is doing its business. I mean, Chuck Schumer notably being one of them. But what are, you know, wealthy Jewish benefactors of the colleges saying to them about the way they're handling the situation at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question. My guess is that most of the wealthy benefactors who tend to be older, they would have the traditional pro-Israel view that I think informs so much of the political classes in the United States. When it comes to younger people, and indeed, I think the sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters of some of those benefactors, they see things quite differently. And to take a broader lens on all of this, this is going to be a live issue as the presidential election nears, because any diminution in support or enthusiasm from young people could have lethal consequences for Joe Biden. Now, I suppose against that, you'd have to say, well, they're hardly going to go for Donald Trump, who takes a totally opposite view. But they could, on the other hand, support other candidates for the presidency, third party candidates. And given how close this is going to be, that could be enough to cause a real problem for Biden.
Hmm. Now, Blinken has been saying that Hamas should accept the offer from Israel, which would bring about a truce for however long, we don't know. We don't have the detail of the offer that's on the table, but Blinken characterized it as being generous on the part of Israel. What difference would a truce make to the level of protest, do you think, across the country?
It's hard to know. I mean, I still think that, you know, again, in the United States, a lot of this is being driven by concerns about investments that the universities have and the financial gains that they've been making out of the suffering, as the students would see it, of the people of Gaza. So I'm not so sure it would immediately extinguish it, but I think it could have a positive effect. And I think in terms of Blinken's characterization, yes, of course, we all would welcome a truce. But I think of his characterization of this as being extremely generous, I think that will enrage an awful lot of people who say, yeah, it's extremely generous to stop a horrific campaign of war that has taken tens of thousands of lives. That's not really extremely generous. That's just civilized.
Now, are there within the protesting crowds, are any of those with caveats? I mean, one can understand totally how people would protest at the extent of humanitarian suffering that has been caused by the Israeli invasion of Gaza. But also one has to bear in mind that there are the spark for this particular round of hostilities between Israel and the Palestinian people were the actions of Hamas on the 7th of October. Do we know anything about anyone feeling a bit uncomfortable about perhaps providing cover for the actions of Hamas?
Yeah, I think one thing I can say is that, and this is, again, what I referred to a few minutes ago, as some of the outliers in these protests. And this is what really angered me. I mean, I've been angered by lots of aspects of this, including the brutality of some of the police and breaking these up. But I was also extremely angered to read some of the things that were being chanted on college campuses, including, Pat, a claim that we will have 10 more October 7th, 100 more October 7th, 1,000 more October 7th, 10,000 more October 7th. That is very, very deeply disturbing to me. And the extent to which that animates some of the protesters is absolutely revolting. And that's where I think you're seeing some of the anger, from police, which, of course, is inexcusable. But when you hear things like that and you see, for instance, Jewish students who play no part in what Israel is doing, when you see them being frightened and intimidated, that's obviously reprehensible. So the big issue, Pat, is I think every campus is different. Every situation is different. Every day of the protests is different. And drawing a line between speech rights and safety and educational benefit and the right of these colleges to have open squares and not to have the places dominated by tents, which obviously accompany with them health and safety and other issues. None of this stuff is straightforward. And I think that perhaps the one thing that will work here is, look, we're getting near to the end of the academic year. Students will be dispersing. I'd hate it if this was happening in February or March and we had a couple months left of the academic year. But ultimately, the end of the term, the end of exams might be the one thing that puts an end to this.
And do you believe, you know, that this is an idealistic movement, or to what extent is it a bit of copycat? You know, students do tend to follow the crowd, you know, whether it was the Vietnam protests, which went on for years, in fact, in that case. And the lure of the summer will simply diminish the desire to live in a tent on a campus square.
Look, Pat, I'm working in higher education now for a number of years. And just like the rest of the population, the students that we teach come from a very different range of perspectives. They're animated by very different things. Among them, yes, they're idealists. Among them, who are people who are doing the right thing, who believe that they are standing up for a just cause. Also among them are, as you say, some people who are going along with it for all sorts of different reasons. And also among them are a very small cohort who unfortunately hold really negative, bigoted views that I think most of us would find revolting. So it's a very broad coalition of people who are involved here. And because of that, I think that's why it's so difficult to apply hard and fast characterizations to much of what we're seeing, or to say, you know, what's happening at one university, we can transfer that and say, okay, that's what's happening everywhere else. I think it's a whole range of different things that we're seeing. And, you know, again, these are scenes that we didn't think we would see again. We thought this was the stuff of Vietnam and the protests like this wouldn't happen again. But it's one of the unfortunate consequences of war and the tragedy that we've seen unfold in recent months in Gaza.
Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway, columnist with thejournal.ie. Larry, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.